Four verses. Do want to repeat what Brother Dennis said. Remember, pray for the pastor up there today preaching for Brother Hobson, their homecoming. Pray God to meet with them, give them what they stand in need of. Also, I want to mention, I realize there's some of y'all might know who I'm talking about. You might have heard him preach on our sermon audio side or on CD, but you don't really know him. But Brother Ronnie Jones up in Chattanooga, they put his wife in the hospital Friday night. She's in intensive care. And all I know at this point is they're planning on doing a heart catheterization tomorrow. And I haven't talked to him this morning, so I don't know how she did last night or none of that, but I do know as far as yesterday, by yesterday afternoon, she was still in intensive care. And they were going to do that. So pray for Sister Jones. If you've ever heard Brother Ronnie, great man of God, great preacher. And if you've never had the privilege to be around him, I have. He's just a blessing to everybody he's around. And they're good people. And Brother Ronnie's pastored up there a long time. So please pray for her and their family and that church. So they need the touch and the help of God up that way this morning. So I did want to mention that. He's a friend of the church in a lot of ways. So I ask you to do that. Brother Robert Parker, would you pray for us?
Heavenly Father, in thy words, I will come forth thanking you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. Thanking you, God, for helping us get out of bed this morning, dear God.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I thank you, God, for this time that we spend time around your word, dear God. I pray that you might please help us. God, I pray that you might give the man of God the message you have in the preach. Teach, dear God, I pray that you might open our hearts and help us to be receptive, Lord. I pray, Lord, for Miss Jones. I pray, Lord, you might help her, dear God. I pray you might touch her body and heal her. God, help Brother Ronnie this morning, dear God. I pray you might do with him, dear God. Help our pastor, dear God, as he stands to preach. Lord, I pray you might preach him with power and unction and boldness, dear God. And I pray, Lord, you might bless everything said and done here, dear God, that your will might be accomplished. And everything might be done for you, for your honor and glory.
Amen. Amen. Thanks for the part. We'll pick up with verse 7 where we left off last week. The Word of God says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies be at peace with him. And the first thing that really jumped out to me there says, when our ways, you've probably heard many a time someone be talking about someone says, got sort of unusual ways, or they got that old time way about them. We hear that a lot in our circle. As far as church goes, Brother Milby got that old time way about him, and I like it. I appreciate it. But it says when a man's ways, when his ways pleases the Lord, it says make even his enemies be at peace with him, Brother Todd. And I thought about ways that please the Lord. And really, the Bible tells us, and I'm going to just be honest with you, I'm talking to me this morning. If it hits you, it helps you, I say, man, I'm talking to me this morning. As I've read over this last few days, I really thought about a lot of things, and I need help, I need to do better. I really do. I'm talking to me this morning. I'm throwing it out there, and it's making you turn right back at me, Brother Robert. But you know, there's a lot of things about our ways that please the Lord. The Lord tells us that a soft answer will turn away wrath. And if there's anybody in this world guilty of somebody when they do me wrong or they say something that irritates me, that I want to put that motor in gear and disengage my brain, it's me. But a soft answer, I know it'll work. I've seen it. I've done it before, believe it or not. And really brought down the anger or the tension in a conversation or a situation. A lot of times when we'll just fly off the handle and raise your voice, all that does really is just raise the tension going on between everybody involved. And a lot of times if you just in a calm voice, and just as tenderly and as kindly as you can, but being honest, express your feelings to somebody, and try to do it with some humility. That's the hard part.
Yeah.
Is to do it with humility. Not standing on our soapbox like we're all this, like we know it all and you don't know nothing and stuff like that. That's what flares up arguments and causes things, Brother Todd, get out of hand. And I believe it pleases the Lord. I know it does, because that's what the Word of God says. He says a soft answer turneth away wrath. And we need to do. I'm just saying, I need to learn sometimes to control not only my temper but my emotions. I'm bad to get distracted. I mean, somebody say something I don't agree with, or I don't think's right. I'm just being honest. I've been bad down through years. Jump in, and then just throw my 2 cents worth in, and all really done just aggravate people. And I apologize for that. I mean, it just ought to be that way, Brother Aaron. If we live by what the Word of God says and not our feelings, amen. But the Bible also tells us, I mean, the Lord said, turn the other cheek. That's hard to do. And I don't mean turn the other cheek so I can come around here with the other hand, you know. You know, I've heard people say that or something to that effect. That ain't what that means. You know, there's nobody that's ever been mistreated as bad as the Lord Jesus Christ was. And he never even raised his voice. He didn't whimper or whine about it. He didn't get mad. He didn't threaten nobody. Amen. And he's supposed to be our example. Is that right? When a man's ways please the Lord. Not our ways, but ways that please the Lord. The Lord expects us as a child of God to guard and to carry ourselves, or to guard our testimony and carry ourselves in a Christian manner. And I'd say all of us, I know I do, need to do better. I mean, there's a lot of times we're not walking in the spirit. We're walking in the flesh, Brother Aaron. We all do it. We're human. We got flesh. We do it. But if we could just sort of guard ourselves, and when we feel it rising up in us, just stop. Just stop. Don't speak. Don't do nothing until you calm down. Then we wouldn't have to go back and apologize. We wouldn't have to fix things that we've done broke.
Yeah.
You know, when our ways please the Lord. I thought about this, and I'll be honest with you. When I first read this Friday, Brother Todd, I thought, well, there's a lot of people that's lived right and pleased the Lord, and they've still been mistreated by their enemies. And so I thought, it don't seem like this verse is always true. But then I got to thinking about it, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, help me with this, because I know your word's always right. And I felt like that's what the Lord spoke in my heart. He said, you've got to take it in its proper context. When your ways please me, it'll cause your enemies to be at peace with you. When your ways please him. Well, there's a lot of things that we do and say probably in situations that we think is justified, Brother Aaron, but it really don't please the Lord. Is that right?
Yeah.
Go and blowing somebody out when they've done you wrong, well, that might make you feel better, but I really don't think that pleases the Lord. You know? And we do it. I mean, I don't have TV anymore. If you do, that's fine. I mean, as long as you don't watch something not fit to watch, I don't have a problem with it personally. I just don't have one no more. But when I go somewhere where there is, especially right now, and they got all that, and I ain't going to get into this. I'm going to just say it, let it go, and go on. All this mess with all this politics. And I told somebody yesterday, I said, I'd fall over dead with a heart attack if one of them two birds actually would say something nice about somebody. I would. That's all you hear out of any one of them's mouth. Something critical, something ugly. I mean, really? And then they wonder why, according to the polls, I don't necessarily believe them, but at least according to the polls, it says people's telling these folks that this year they're not really voting for somebody as much as they're just voting against the one they hate the most. And that's sad. It really is. It's sad. And I mentioned Brother Ronnie in that prayer request, and I'll share this with you. I don't know Did anybody listen to that message, Train Up a Child, that came back yet? Does anybody listen to that? He was talking about it in there about training up children. And this is what he said about all that. And then I'm going to let it go. But he said, what we fail to realize and what we don't think about, Aaron, is that 60 years ago, both of them were children. You hear me? He was talking about training up a child in a godly, in a biblical manner. And Brother Ronnie said he'd studied on that thing and done a little investigation, really, as to what kind of homes both of them grew up in. And he said, you know, and the point he was making is, when you train up your child, those of you that still have children, those of you who have grandchildren, hear this, because the man of God said it, and it's right. He said, what we don't really think about a lot in life is, as you're raising that child, and whatever they wind up growing up to be, it don't just affect them. It don't just affect you and the family. It affects far more people and far more things down the road, as we see with them two now. It's affecting the whole country. And Brother Jones, just what he said, he's right. I believe he's right. He said the reason we don't have nothing to vote for today, nothing worth voting for today, is because 60 years ago their parents didn't raise nothing worth voting for. And I said amen to it.
Yeah.
Because that reminded me in my heart how important it is that how we're raising our children. How we're trying to help our grandchildren. I know it's the parents' place to train them. But we're raising up human beings that's going to be grown one day. And no telling what position or place they might be in life one day. And have an opportunity to influence this world in great ways. I know it's getting a little off of the actual text, but I think it's important to say, Brother Todd, and I thank you and Miss Jennifer, wonderful parents. You've done a great job with them three boys, in my opinion. That's the way I feel. You've done a wonderful job. But I'm going to tell you what, you don't have no idea. One day, one of them three boys may be in a position to greatly influence a lot of people. And the way you've raised them is going to determine in a great way how they're going to react in that situation and affect other people. So that's important. That should not, and I commend you for that. I thank God for you for doing that. And there's others in here as good parents. I'm just using Brother Todd and Miss Jennifer as an example. I mean, that gives me hope. If God would ever raise up one of them boys and let them be in a position to really have an effect on some people's lives, I mean, I can have some confidence, Brother Robert. They've been raised right. And hopefully they'll walk in that. And they'll express that to others in decisions they make. And in the way they treat other people. That's important. And it could make a great difference. God can use that to make a great difference in somebody's life one day. Amen. So don't take that lightly. I mean, it's important what we're putting in them now, because a lot of what we put in them now is what's going to come out years down the road.
Yeah.
Amen. But anyway, when our ways please the Lord, it's our ways, but they've got to be pleasing to the Lord. Then He'll make even your enemies be at peace with you. Amen. And I have seen that happen. I have people now, I'll be honest with you, I know they don't like me. Now I can stand up here and say, well, I don't care. I do care, but you know what I mean. I'm not going to let it affect me. I'm not going to change to suit them. But when I'm around them, I try my best. I'll speak. I'll say, hey, how you doing? I try my best to be kind to them anyway, Brother Todd. And it's amazing to me. You can tell. You can tell the look on their face. They don't even want to say nothing nice back, but they do. They'll at least say, hey, how you, and go on. Well, it's obvious they don't want to stand around and fellowship with me, and, you know, in some cases it's mutual, but. I mean, you know, we really can't have real fellowship with lost folk. Not like we do with the brethren. That's what I'm saying. But at least I'm not doing something. By the grace of God, I'm trying to not do anything that would make the situation worse and cause them and me to sin. And God blesses that, and no doubt I can be at peace with them. We're not going to get along. We're not going to be buddies unless God ever saves them and they come this way. But at least I can be at peace with them. And I thank God for doing that. But verse 8. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. And our country, I'm going to tell you what, I've thought about this. I've told Brother Hyatt this before. And at first I do want to say this. I thank God for how He's blessed our country down through the years. It's amazing to me. Our country, no doubt, has been greatly blessed far and above any other country that's ever been on the face of this earth except for the nation Israel. And I thank God for that. But our prosperity, in some ways, even though it's been a blessing, it's also been a curse. Because the love of money is the root of all evil. And some people in this country have just got too much money. Now, I'm not against working hard and you being blessed. I'm not saying that. I ain't gone communist on you. But I'm just saying, some people don't know how to handle it. They can't be responsible with it. And they let that pull them away from God. That's why the Bible says that it's harder for a rich man to make it to heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Why? Because he will not turn loose of trusting what he's got in his hand. Amen. And trust God. And if he will not completely trust Christ with his soul, he can't be saved. Is that right, church? They think I've got money. They're used to everybody bowing down to them. They bark orders and everybody jumps. They think I can make everything happen that I need to happen. And so it makes perfect sense in a human sense that they would think, well, you know, I can get myself to heaven. I seem to accomplish everything else. And even though that money is a blessing or could be a great blessing to not only them but others that they come in contact with, it winds up being a curse to them. Winds up being a curse. And I wonder how many rich men's in hell this morning. I mean, we know what Luke 16 tells us. Brother Shank, I'm inclined to think he's got a lot of company. I think there's been a lot of rich folk, a lot of powerful folk sit on thrones that's in hell today because they thought it was in their hand. They thought it was in their power and not in God. And I've told people before, they said, well, surely God's blessing that man or that lady. Look at all they got. And I said, you don't know. The devil might be giving that to them. I get a lot of funny looks when I say that sometimes. They say, well, surely not. I said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The devil can give them that buddy, and make them think, buddy, that they're all that in this world, and then they'll never turn to God in faith, and they'll die and go to hell. You know, Satan's just tickled to death with that. He got one. You know that's right. I said, maybe the devil give it to him. Especially those that live wicked. And it seems that they're never held accountable even when they do wrong. And I'm not going to call no names. I think we could all conjure up plenty of names in our mind. But it's better to have a little with righteousness. Brother Todd, I ain't got a lot of the things of this world. I just don't. Actually, now that I've been saved so many years and God's allowed me to understand some things, I'm glad I don't. I really am. I don't sit around wishing to win the lottery or some stupidity like that. I know salvation's not a lottery, but if I've ever won anything, I won Christ, and that's far better than winning the lottery. Amen. And I had to buy no ticket to get a chance. Amen. He paid for it. Is that right, Brother Keith? He paid for it. He paid the price. I didn't have to do anything but believe him. Is that right? And just enjoy the good benefits of the love of God. I didn't need no money for that, Brother Robert. You know the old saying, you've been around a whole lot longer than I have, Brother Robert. Yeah, and I'm sure you've heard it, you know, it says the best things in life money can't buy. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
You can't buy love.
No.
Now, if you got money, you can get somebody to marry up with you and everything because you got money, but that ain't love.
No.
That's just waiting for you to kick over and die so they can get it. Is that right? That's why you see 20-something year old women marrying these 80-something year old billionaires.
Yeah.
They know they ain't going to be around a whole lot longer, son, and they got diamonds in their eyes.
Oh, yeah.
They think they're going to inherit it all. Is that right?
Yeah.
I'd rather be sitting on the side of the road and be a beggar and have Christ.
Right.
Is that right? Better is a little with righteousness. Well, it ain't my righteousness, so that's got to mean it's righteousness of Christ. I mean, it's talking about a saved person. We don't have no inherent righteousness in and of ourselves. Is that right? So, buddy, if you got Christ, you've already hit the jackpot. Now, I don't mean to belittle salvation or the work of God in saying that, but I'm just saying there ain't no greater prize you could ever obtain in this life than Christ. And if you got Him, amen, and you know what the best part is, Brother Keith? One of these days when I pull on out of here, I'm going to be with Him.
Yeah.
I ain't taking no pots and pans. I ain't going to take no jewelry, no wallet, no bank account. I ain't got a car. If I had one, I wouldn't take it. Like I've always often said, I mean, just as a joke, you know, Grandpa always said he ain't never seen no U-Haul hooked to the back of that hearse going down there to the graveyard. You ain't taking none of it with you. The only thing you'll take out of this world with you that you didn't bring in will be the Spirit of God in your soul. If you know Him. And that's the only thing you'll ever really have in this life that's worthy of going into eternity with. Is that right? A lot of people talk about what they think heaven's going to be like. You know, don't kick me now and get mad at me. I mean, if I'm wrong, you just pray for me if you think I'm wrong. Everybody's got to write their own feelings. But the more I hear people talk, Miss Brenda, it's like they got this idea that heaven is just going to be a bigger, better version of here. I don't believe that heaven's going to be anything like here. Except for what we have in Christ. The best services we've ever had, Sister Linda, in this place is just a taste. It's just a little tiny taste of what it's going to be like around that throne one day. It's just God giving us a little glimpse to keep our hopes strong and to keep us looking to Him and looking forward to going, Brother Robert.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Right.
It ain't a drop in the bucket to what it's going to be there, though.
Right.
It ain't going to be, you ain't taking nothing. Hey, let me tell you something. And I'm one of them, so I'm guilty. I'm getting better about it. I've got a lot better over the last couple of years. But I just want to tell you now, there ain't going to be no Saturday football up there. There ain't going to be no Sunday NASCAR. There ain't going to be no Friday night going to the movies. There ain't going to be no weekend trips down to the park. There ain't going to be no Disneyland.
Right.
I hate to break your heart if you think that. Dale Earnhardt ain't up there running around racing for Jesus. I mean, I think the last thing you'd see in heaven would be a race car with a bunch of beer stickers on it. And if I ain't got everything else, I'll just go in and name soap operas and worldly books and you ain't gonna be there. You like that hair? Help yourself. You better get your belly full. When you go there, Brother Robert, you ain't gonna see no more of it.
Oh, no.
No more of it.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna tell you something else that most people, even some good saved people I know, just really have a problem with. I mean, they'll draw up when I say it. But I'm gonna say it because I know it's right. When we get up there, ain't none of us gonna get bragged on. Ain't nobody up there gonna get bragged on but Him.
Yeah.
There ain't gonna be none of that up there.
No.
Because when we get up there, we will truly realize, without a doubt, that the only reason Brother Shank's my friend here, and I'm good to him, and he's good to me, and we get along, and we love one another, is because God put that in our heart to be that way.
Yeah.
That's not to my credit, nor his. Not Brother Shank, I'm just using you as an example. If he was still lost, and I was still lost, and we was what we were back before God ever got a hold of us, he probably wouldn't like me, and I probably wouldn't like him. We probably wouldn't even get along. I don't know that, but we probably wouldn't. I know some of you in here, I guarantee you wouldn't have liked me. I'll just tell you that. I ain't going to give you no details, but I ain't going to glorify the devil in sin. But I know you, most of you wouldn't have given 2 cents for me. You'd run the other direction. You've seen me coming. I said, you ain't going to give me away, my devil. Thank God for grace.
Yeah.
And thank God for mercy. I'd rather have what God's got for me than what the world does.
Yeah.
Now, do I still watch some football? Sure, I do. I mean, Brother Todd, I know Brother Hyde knows, and I like Alabama. I've always pulled for Alabama. Now, he's playing yesterday, playing the big game against Texas A&M, both of them undefeated. You know what I've done? I cut her on. I cut her on. I watched about half the first quarter, and I turned it off and got my Bible and started reading it. It just didn't even hold my interest. And I thank God for that.
Yeah.
I really do. Because as my old friend, Brother Shaver down in Alabama, said, that's just idolatry. Bless God, that's idolatry. Me and him was talking on the phone a while back, and he said, how many folks up are at that dumb ball game? I said, 102,000, they said. He said, boy, wouldn't it be good if you get 102,000 in camp meeting? I said, can you imagine what God might do? I told him, I said, yeah, it'd be wonderful. I said, I'd love to see it, but I really don't think we'll ever see that in America.
Right.
I'd love to.
Yeah.
I'd rather have what God's got, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It tells us, as better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without righteousness. Verse 9, I'll be done. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. I thought on that a good while. Brother Robert, every one of us, we all the time make plans. We like to make plans. Don't we?
Yeah.
We like to plan something.
Yeah.
We really do. We'll say, next summer I'm going down there some such, and I'm going to stay a week or two, and I'm going to do this and that. And many times, and I know we don't mean no harm, no wrong by it. It's just we neglect to think to do it. But you know, the Bible said that, told that one fellow over there, he said, you go down there and you say, I'm going to go to this city and I'm going to stay a year and I'm going to trade and buy and sell and all that and make a bunch of money and I'm going to come back home. He said, you better say if the Lord will. Is that what he told him?
Yeah.
He said, you better say if the Lord will. You might get down there the first day and you might drop dead and go home. There ain't nothing wrong making plans, but I'm just telling you, we make plans, but God directs our steps.
Oh, yeah.
Brother Parker, I can't even get in my mind how many times in my life, since I've been saved, that I was about to maybe go down a wrong direction. Or I was about to make a decision, and it looked good. From what I knew, it looked good. It looked promising. And the door would slam shut and it just wouldn't work out. It just wouldn't happen. And I know now that was God directing my steps. Why? Because he knew far more than I did and he knew it wouldn't work. Looked good to me. And I thank God for that. That he'd do that for me. We devise our own ways. Ain't that right, Brother Randy? We think, well, by golly, tomorrow I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I could say that. I've got things I know I need to do in the morning. Before the sun goes down today, Brother Robert, I could be like Sister Jones up here in Chattanooga, Tennessee,
yeah.
And I could be laying up here in intensive care at the hospital with a heart problem.
Oh, yeah.
Or I could be laying down there at the funeral home.
Oh, yeah.
If the Lord will. I mean, I'm guilty. I'll gladly admit it. I'll confess to you. The Bible says confess your faults to one another. I don't believe that means to air your dirty laundry, but I'll confess my fault. There's a lot of times I plan things or I say I'm going to do this and I go about trying to do it and I don't pray about it. Is anybody else in here guilty of that? I mean well. I don't mean no harm. I want God to touch it. I want to be in God's will. But I just don't stop and take the time to say, Lord, what do you want?
Yeah.
Maybe it seems frivolous to me. It's not that important to take to God. Just ain't that big a deal. But yet he said, do not cease praying. Is that right? He said to do all things for His glory. At the least, I ought to bow my head and say to the Lord, what I'm about to do will glorify you. Now, we're flesh. We know we don't do that. And I'm saying this morning, I'll go home tomorrow and I'll do it again, probably. I mean, Lord, be my helper, but I probably will at some point in the day. But we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't do that. We ought to be mindful of what God wants. Is that right? He directs our steps. Amen. I'm going to tell you what. There was a day, Brother Aaron, that I was lost and I was bound up in sin and I couldn't get out. I didn't know how to get out. For a long number of years, I didn't want to get out. And I suppose if God would have never saved me almost 22 years ago, I can only imagine what kind of mess my life would be in now. That would have been with me trying to plan and devise my ways. But He took control.
Hell yeah.
Amen.
Oh yeah.
He said, I'm in charge now.
Yeah.
January 19, 1995, He come to me and He said, guess what? I'm going to save you and I'm the boss now.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like that.
Yeah.
Now I hadn't always obeyed the boss, Brother Robert. Don't sit there and think, now I'm standing up here trying to hold a halo over my head. I need help worse than probably anybody in here.
We all do.
But I'm telling you the truth. He said, I'm the boss. He said, if you're walking my ways.
Yeah.
And if you'll do according to my will. Is that right?
Yeah.
He said, it's going to be really good. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
But if you don't, there's a little thing over in Hebrews 12 that's called chastisement.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard many of you testify to when you were children, when you didn't do right, that, daddy and mama got a hold of you. You ought to thank God for that.
Yeah.
You ought to thank God for that. There's many of you in here, your children's in here now, some of them teenagers. I'm going to tell you what, it's just my honest opinion. It's just what I think. I think we got a pretty good group of young people in here. That's a testimony of God's grace in helping you parents to raise them right.
Yeah.
You're trying to do what's right. I have no doubt every parent in here is trying to do what's right. And God's blessing it. Is that right?
Yeah.
We devise our ways. We make big plans, Brother Robert.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times they fall through.
Yeah.
Because God said, no, I'll direct your steps. See, we can make all the plans we want to. But you know what? God, before this ball of dust was ever created, Brother Shirley, God already had the plan. He already had it all wrote down.
Right.
He already had it all in place, sealed in blood.
Right.
In the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah.
And you mark her down, God's will is going to be done. We're in a mess in this country. Brother Miller said, Bernie Camp, he said, the worst thing about this election, one of them going in.
Right.
But he said, but God's on the throne.
Yeah.
You know how Brother Miller is. I ain't worried.
Right.
Yeah, God's on the throne, so He take care of them.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks like we might face some dark, difficult days. But you know what? God's grace is sufficient, Sister Linda. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fret. By the grace of God, if He'll help me, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
I'm not going to let it affect me. I've already heard the rumblings. If a certain one gets in there and puts certain judges on the bench, that somebody like me and Brother Hyde and Brother Shank and all these other preachers may wind up being burned in a jailhouse because they'll say, preaching is against the law because it's hate speech. By the grace of God, Brother Shirley, I'm going to keep right on preaching.
Amen.
By the grace of God, Brother Aaron, I want you to keep right on testifying. God will help you.
I remember, and I'll close with it. I remember back in the book of Daniel, three Hebrew boys, and the old king said, when the music plays, you better bow. And they said, we ain't going to bow. Remember what they said? The old king asked them, do you think your God is going to deliver you? They said, whether he does or not, he's still God. Is that right? And I really believe them boys in their heart, Brother Dennis, I believe they really believed in their heart, if we burn, it won't be but for a few seconds, and we'll be out of here, and we're going to be in paradise. You know, back then they went to paradise. And we're going to be fine. We're going to be in Abraham's bosom. I believe that. I believe they believed that. But you know what? They took a stand, Brother Keith. Is that right? They took a stand, and they took it in the right spirit, and they took it in a way and a manner to glorify God. And buddy, they sewed them in there, and the fourth man showed up. Now, I don't know about you, but I know who that was. And I can imagine, I wish I could go look back in time, Brother Robert. I'd love to see the look on that rascal's face when he looked over in there and he said, wait a minute, how many we throw in there? One, two, three. Where'd he come from? That looks like the Son of God.
Yeah.
Where'd he come from? Brother Shank, I sort of preached this little thought up our Brother Gray's this year.
Yeah.
I could just imagine the devil right about that point. I could just imagine. I mean, I could just see him get all stressed in his face. And he'd say, where'd he come from? I had him. Is that right?
Yeah.
But I was about to win. No, not him. No. Don't let him show up. He know ball game's over. Jesus shows up. He's done lost. Is that right? I preached that up there out of Luke 7 over where they were carrying the dead boy out and everything. And it says Jesus come and he touched the bier he was laying on. Well, that didn't raise him from the dead. That just stopped everybody. That put a stop to the devil's foolishness. That's what I was preaching on up there that day. I preached on when the Lord says that's far enough.
Yeah.
You ain't going no further.
Right.
And I could just imagine that devil having a stroke. Man, where'd he come from? Dadgummit. No, not him. I bet in the morning he got up out of that tomb. Yeah. No, don't let him out of there. But he got out.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't he? And then, right, Brother Shank? Brother Shank, we've got the life in Christ we do because God is sovereign, and the devil cannot stop him.
Right.
If the devil could stop God, we'd really be in a mess.
You better believe it.
But God's in charge. And I'm glad he's directing my steps.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm glad that he teaches me, amen, how to be pleasing in my ways to him. Amen. And I'm glad that I can be satisfied in my heart. Amen. To have what God give me and not desire the world. Amen. I hope that's a help to you. I mean, just a little thought there in three verses. We need to trust him.
Yeah.
Brother Shank, we know it might get rough. You know what? We ain't going to face nothing God's people ain't already faced somewhere back yonder. And God won then, he's going to win again. I ain't gonna say we may have to tolerate a little bit of rough stuff. It may not be pleasant. But I'm gonna tell you what, if you'll just hold on to his hand, you're gonna come out on the other side in glory. And it's gonna be all right. Is that right?
Yeah.
Amen. Brother Robert, you pray for us and you know you're at liberty to go.
Our Father in heaven, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we want to thank you, God in heaven, for another week.
Thank you, Jesus.
And God, that one more time, Lord, that we can gather together as you see.
Thank you, Father.
God, in the house of God, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Now, Father, this morning, Lord, I want to say thank you for Brother Danny, God in heaven, and I really enjoyed the preaching this morning. And I want you, Father, my God, to take care of him in all ways, God, and give him what he needs. God, I cannot, but I'm glad, God, that I'm serving one that can. And I ask you, Father, in the name of the Son of the living God, that went to Calvary, and he shed his blessed blood to die, that we may live.
Yes,
tonight, Lord, Father, Lord, that we can be right where we are today. And our Father, that's pointed, Lord, I want to say thank you, God in heaven, for every one that's here today.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
Our Father, every sheep
thank you,
that belongs to you.
Yes, Lord.
Our Father, I'm so glad, thank God in heaven, whenever I was born as a sheep, but a lost one. But I'm glad there was a day that God the Father and the Son that troubled my heart. I see that I needed something, but I didn't have. Oh, my God, today I'm glad, thank God in heaven, that I made my way to an altar of prayer, and I found out that there was something better than I already had.
Yes.
And our Father, whenever I got up, I knew within my own self there was something different. Now, God, I want to say thank you, dear Lord in heaven, for Danny. I want to thank you, God in heaven, for what he preached this morning. And I pray for God in heaven that you'll always keep him in the hollow of your hand and to help him. Also, this morning, Lord, his brother Chad getting up to preach at 11 o'clock hour. I ask you, my Father, as I'm on, Lord, as I know how, give him God what he needs to preach and fill him with the power of God. Turn him loose and let him preach. And our Father, I'll be right here for him, and I'll pray for him. And our Father, our pastor, the sweated Lord, I pray for him, God in heaven, that you'll always take care of him and supply his needs according to your precious will. And our Father, there's some sick that would love to be here today. Lucy, God, for over 3 solid weeks. God, I've seen her suffer. I've seen her hurt. God, it had to break my heart. But my Father, I ask you, oh God, brother, Lord, as I know how, if you would, if it would please you. God, touch her with your loving hand. God, in heaven, and to help her. Because, God, I know there's no one else. I know no one to ask, God, that could do it, but you. And God, I know you can. I know that you're real. But I'm so thankful today, God, that I know you. Father, I know a lot of times, God, that we don't do everything that we want to do, but God in heaven, I ask you forgive us. And I ask you to help us. Also, in 11 o'clock service, his brother Shank preaches, our Father God in heaven, give him what he needs to preach and just turn loose. God, let him preach. And I be careful, God, to say thank you and to praise you, give you all honor and all glory. Jesus' blessed name, we humbly pray. Amen.